The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody. As always, we welcome you to the Speak Up Table, where we're bringing to you the key candidates who are seeking your vote this primary season, May 17th. My name is Barbara, and today we're talking with candidates for State Representative 1A. There are two seats or two representatives for District 1 covering Bonner and Boundary counties. And we talked with the Seat B candidates last week. You can find that interview at NorthIdahoRadio.com. And today and tomorrow, we're talking with the candidates for Seat 1A. Today is with Mark Sauter, Travis Thompson, and Cynthia Weiss, and tomorrow Adam Rorick and Spencer Hutchings. By the way, this is the seat that Heather Scott, Representative Heather Scott, has held, but due to redistricting, she is now residing in District 2. And that leaves seat 1A wide open. So keep it right here, because this is the best venue to hear and really get to know your candidates. We will be right back after this. Come on back in, everyone. Say hello and welcome to Mark Sauter, Travis Thompson, and Cynthia Weiss. I welcome all of you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you.
I want to begin with you, you introducing yourself to the audience, who you are, and what you believe you uniquely bring to the voter. So, Mark, I'm going to start with you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me here this morning. I'm Mark Sauter. I'm a traditional conservative Republican. I believe in individual responsibility, the importance of a family, balanced budgets, limited regulation, efficient and effective services, and freedom for business. I also believe in governing within our Constitution, making decisions that are good for District 1, being a responsible representative. There's three things that I like that I wanted to bring forward. Job growth is the first one. We need to hold our regulations down and give employers the freedom to create jobs. We need to support our Idaho businesses with the infrastructure they need to continue to flourish. I believe we must stand up for water resources and support the agriculture, timber, manufacturing, and tech businesses that we have. We need to keep them competitive and productive. We also need to ensure our education system is providing the necessary training for students to advance into good jobs and careers. Two, community safety. We need to support our law enforcement, fire service, and EMS community with the tools they need to provide their emergency services. We also need to protect our Second Amendment rights. We need to do what we can to reduce the negative impacts of our border issues as well. As we all know, we have crime, drugs, and immigration problems at our southern border, and our state is supporting some of that now, and I believe we need to continue that. Third, I will pursue improving the fairness of our tax system. We need to take a comprehensive look at our tax system. Residents are consistently bringing the property and grocery taxes to my attention. Many Idaho families and property owners are struggling with the tax burdens they face. As a representative, I will do my best to reduce our property taxes and grocery taxes.
All right, Mark Sauter, thank you for that. Travis Thompson, help our audience get to know what you're all about.
All right, thank you, Barbara, and thank you, everybody, for listening in. So my name's Travis Thompson. I'm a lifelong resident of Bonner County. So I was born here in 73, so about 49 years here, 49 years and 9 months, actually. So we're I'm the father of three children. They grew up here. I've worked general building contractor, and then more importantly, I guess, to this race is I've been volunteering my time involved in community activities and writing legislation and helping with the process, helping different community members understand our government process. For the last 10 years, I spent one whole session volunteering my time in the Idaho State Legislature. This is a job interview, and I wanted to make sure that I could speak intelligently to how the process works and what we can do to affect change so we can continue to be properly represented at the state capitol. And right now, I think one of the biggest issues is honesty and having a representative that provides an honest feedback to what's going on. There's two different things that happen. You have fundraising, and then you have the work that happens at the state capitol. And a lot of times the fundraising becomes the focus. It draws money in, and it uses issues, and it clouds what we see coming out of the state legislature. It doesn't help us understand what's really going on, but it's used to raise money and fund money into groups and promote candidates. If everybody believes that, most people believe that politics isn't honest, and there's a lot of backroom deals, and I can tell you that that's the truth, and I don't stand for that. I'm not endorsed or running for any particular candidate. I'm running to represent the district, and that's a very important distinction, because there's the government likes to, or the different groups want to advantage themselves against another using the force of government to do that. And I want to create an open, fair playing field where one group doesn't advantage themselves against another. So those are, I've got a website, and it has a lot of the issues that I have been working on. And for the sake of time, I can't read all of those off. But we'll, I appreciate if you look at it, Travis Thompson. ThompsonForIdaho.us.
All right, we're going to get into a lot of these issues, so you're going to have an opportunity, all of you, to speak to them. Cynthia Wise, introduce yourself to the listening audience.
Thank you, Barbara, for having us today. I am Cynthia Wise, and I am a political outsider here in Bonner County and Boundary County. I have lived here for 5 years since moving from the southern part of Idaho, and I was very active during that time in the South. But I am not a politician. I shouldn't say I wish I were. I am running for an office. But if I make a statement, you will know that it's true, and the promises I make to you are not just words. I am a candidate for state representative who thinks and develops creative solutions that work, and I never quit. If everyone tells me something can't be done, it just makes me determined to succeed where no one has before. We are all we the people. We are supposed to be the government. Unfortunately, there are politicians who deceive us, and there are bureaucrats who make empty promises, and once they're elected, nothing ever happens. My top priorities, one of them is to restore the Constitution. And that might sound like only a federal issue, but it in fact affects all of us in District 1, because what comes from the top comes down through the state, and then it affects us locally. When we have open borders on the south and on our southern border, that affects all of us. People think, well, that's a long way away, but it's not, because all those things that are happening down there have reached our district. There's fentanyl. There's drug trafficking, but there's also human trafficking. And we don't want that to happen in our area or in our state. My practical plans are built on a successful record of making things happen against all odds. If I am fortunate enough to earn your trust, I give you my solemn oath, I will never betray you. You will not have voters' remorse. My top issues are, like my fellow candidates here, we all believe in the conservative Republican values and Christian values that we were born and believe in. Finding out our differences is what hopefully we will find today. I have a new website that I'd ask you to please visit. If you've received my information or been to other candidate forums, you will not have this information. It's vote4cynthia.us, standing for us, we the people. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia Wise. All right. We're going to get into some of the issues now. We all know that inflation itself, is coming from policies that our federal government, and really our state governments to a certain extent also, but have promulgated over years. And so now we're really caught in some tough inflation. People are looking at some relief for taxes. So I want to break it down. I want you to break it down. Specifically, if elected, what would you promote and lobby for with regard to gasoline taxes, the state share of that? Travis Thompson, what do you think?
Well, I am for lower taxes. I'm a fiscal conservative. So the gasoline tax, off of memory, is 33 cents a gallon in Idaho. And actually, I think we saw the price raise more than that just in the last couple of days. It could be an answer to relief, but the real problem is the supply chain issues. And that's where, well, first off, inflation is due to federal monetary policy. So the state has little they can do that, but the supply chain side is where we can offer some relief, streamline regulatory requirements, and help increase the production. We don't have production of gas here in the state, but it's not a good situation, and the state doesn't have a lot they can do with it, but we can work through whatever regulations are restricting the supply.
Okay, so gas tax, you're not so interested in taking the state share and temporarily taking that down or whatever?
Oh, for sure. Yes, I'm just putting into perspective. Okay. Fuel prices went up more in the last 2 days than the
right.
gas tax
but
was.
The tax didn't. Tax
no, the tax is the same, 32. Exactly. So if we did eliminate the gas tax for a period of time, fuel would go from what's $5.39 a gallon for diesel back to $5.03 or something to that effect.
All right, Mark, what do you think? Let's just try to move through this. We've got a lot on our list. Taxes, specifically gas taxes. As a state senator, or as a state representative, rather, what can you do?
Well, you can reduce the gas tax. However, that's the primary revenue source for all of our roads. Our roads are already in need of quite a bit of work. So walking away from that, and the gas tax as it is actually taxes those who use the roads the most. Usually it's the heavier vehicles that run the roads down. Our gas tax is actually pretty competitive across the country. Most of the states around us actually charge more for their gas tax than us. I'm a fiscal conservative as well, but on the other hand, to cut our gas tax off right now doesn't really help our road situation, and I'm very hopeful that our gas supplies are going to change and we're going to get some relief at the pump. We, as a state representative, we don't have that much to do with that specifically, but we do need to take care of all the regulations we can to streamline things, whatever transportation's regulations we can and we can cut or clean up. Let's do that.
Right. Cynthia, same question. Gas tax. Keep it to gas tax, please.
Okay. We can't get rid of the gas tax because of the things that have already been said. We need to fix our roads, and living in a rural area up in the mountains, I certainly understand what happens when the roads aren't taken care of. But I know we have to stick to the gasoline tax, but there are solutions that we can do that have to do with taxing.
We're going to get to those taxes, and we're going to get to it right after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about grocery taxes, property taxes, and moving through that and on to other issues. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back in, everyone. We are talking today with three of the five candidates for State Representative Seat 1A. We have with us in the studio Mark Sauter, Travis Thompson, and Cynthia Weiss. And we've been talking about taxes. Cynthia, I'm going to keep it with you. What, if anything, would you propose as a state representative regarding grocery tax or grocery tax credits?
I believe that grocery taxes should be completely done away with. There is no reason why, when we have a scarcity of food, which is only going to get worse, especially in the next month, when we have not just scarcity locally, but in the country, since 2022 began, a lot of the places that produce the food, the production of places are having fires and they are being destroyed. And it's something that's very serious, and we need to make sure that all of us can have food. And we need to make sure that people locally can produce the food without restrictions from our local, state, and federal governments.
All right. Mark, what do you think about grocery tax, either elimination or a better, higher tax credit?
It's a few things. The grocery tax, I believe, provides about $25 million in revenue for our state every year. It is a way to tax out-of-town people that come in and use our services and use our state. So for that, I think we have to be respectful of that. I'm in favor of a comprehensive redo for our tax plan. So to really look at all of that, not just the grocery tax. I'd want to eliminate the grocery tax, but I also know that there's revenue in there that our state gets from outside entities that we need to figure out how to capture so they can pay their way. I'm all for having everybody pull on their oars the same way, and I think we need to keep working on that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Travis Thompson, grocery tax or grocery tax credit, which I think a lot of people may not understand. What do you think?
Well, the current system, there is a lot of confusion going on with the grocery tax right now because a couple of groups came together and decided they wanted to, quote, eliminate the grocery tax, but they were really using it for fundraising purposes. So they've inserted in a tremendous amount of angst, I guess, amongst people. And then the attempt, there was not a legitimate attempt to eliminate it. It was just a parliamentary political move. So with that being said, I do believe that there's a will in the legislature to remove the grocery tax. However, some of the questions need to be answered because it is the only tax that people who are not here legally pay, and it's the tax that we can utilize for people coming from out of state to cover the services that they use. So as we talk about shifting away from a grocery tax, we need to talk about where we're going to replace those revenues. And we do have a grocery tax credit already, even though I don't like the idea we're loaning the federal government, or not the federal, the state government money for the entire year so they can send it back to us. We could look at different ways to make that work. But the grocery tax issue is an important issue. I don't like the idea that there's a tax on food. However, overall, I prefer consumption tax over, say, property tax, which property tax is levied against you without the ability to pay.
You've gotten to my very next question. I'll keep it here with you. What is your overall button look at property tax relief or some kind of re-legislation on that?
So property tax is a complicated issue because it deals with the state government and then counties. And so you have to be very careful when you're talking about this and with around county commissioners, then the hair on the back of their neck stands up because the state likes to sometimes create mandates or without properly vetting it through the counties. So this conversation has to start at the county level. However, property tax in general, I don't like it because it's not based on your ability to pay. And that's a problem. I think that the economy and the government, the state government's revenues need to be tied more to the economy rather than to property taxes, because the federal or the state and federal, but the government regulations tend to run counter to production in the economy, and there needs to be more of a link. So that, you know, as you add more regulations, the economy falters and it reduces the income level, and that needs to be seen.
All right, Mark, what do you think about the issue of property tax? We have several governor candidates that are running against Governor Little that they want to eliminate property tax and find they have ideas for other sources of income. I don't know if you've heard them speak, but what do you think we can do, should do, is also part of the question about property taxes.
Well, there's a couple pieces of property tax, not just the property tax itself, but also the levies that go with it, that go to things like fire districts and school districts. So all of those things are factors. If we just want to talk about property tax, for one, the homeowner's exemption needs to be indexed to inflation. Right now, it the increases that we've had in property values over the last 24 months is greatly eclipsed the $25,000 increase for the homeowner's exemption that came last year. So I think that's a start. I think we to replace the property tax with a consumption tax, it's a great idea. That was actually brought up in the last legislative session towards the end, and it really didn't get vetted out. I think we need to look at all of our taxes comprehensively. The downside of a consumption tax system, unless we can change it, is the disparities that we have here in our county. Ponderay, the city of Ponderay, contributes a great amount of sales tax money to our state, and they get very little per population back. In fact, that formula changed a couple years ago and made it worse for Ponderay. So we really have to look at things comprehensively, and not to dispute what Travis is saying, but just to say that it's a pretty complex situation, and we really need to look at all the taxes.
All right. And Cynthia, property tax.
Well, I'm going to first address comprehensive tax, because when we look at individual taxes, we do not get the picture of what's really happening. The consumption tax takes care of the problem with so many visitors come. It's not a problem because they do consume things and they help our local businesses. And I have been an entrepreneur for 50 years. I have had my own businesses as well as seen what happens in other states where I've lived before I returned back to my roots. So, the consumption tax is going to make sure that people who come here with lots of money are going to be taxed, and I don't think we need to put it back on the food tax.
Don't put property tax back on the food tax. Property tax.
I'm sorry. Property taxes are very complex also, and it's people moving into the district that pay huge amounts of money, and it causes problems for the local residents.
Okay, got it. All right. You know, you're all Republicans. You're all registered as Republicans, so we all, you know, hope and pray that you are indeed Republicans in truth. And Republicans tend to say, you know, more government is not the answer. Less government is the answer. We don't turn to government, you know, in for everything that we need. So holding that in our head here, do you agree or disagree with what Governor Little did with businesses? You know, businesses were closed, lockdowns, mandates, all the vaccination stuff, just kind of lumped that whole COVID thing. Do you agree or disagree? Was it necessary, you know, at that time to do it? Now it's not. What do you think? And I'm going to start with Mark.
Thanks. To begin with, it's not easy. No one ever said it's easy to be a leader, and especially when there's no real playbook in front of you. So, I think the governor did. I don't think he ever mandated our vaccinations. I believe that was a federal issue. The state pushed back against that, sued the federal government, and stopped it. So we had some battles over that, and there was some consternation and difficult times. But regardless, we muddled our way through it. And I think in general, Governor Little has made it through all of this stuff. It's not easy to be a leader, and it's easy to throw stones. But I do think that we as a state came out of this pretty well.
A quick follow-up, and you'll all get this, is do you think that Governor Little, as governor, had too much power at that time in these emergency situations, and the legislature was left out?
The legislature is a deliberative body. They're there to make legislation. They're not there to be emergency powers. That's really in the executive's spot. And I think he did do the leadership that he was supposed to. We can argue about it all we like, but I think as far as a government function, that's his function to act in an emergency.
All right. Same question, Cynthia Weiss.
Having been an executive most of my life, I can tell you that it's very easy for people to look at leadership and not understand the responsibility. But I do believe that Governor Little did not protect us in the way that he should have. I'm not a big...
Specifically how?
Specifically putting us under emergency for more than 2 years when he only has the right to do it for 30 days, and then the legislature is supposed to approve that being extended. But he continued it long past the time that it was needed. So he did some things really well, but he did things that I think really harmed the people, and I am not a fan of his at all.
All right, same question, Travis Thompson.
So this comes to a separation of powers issue, and the executive branch and the legislative branch and the judicial branch are all co-equal branches of government, and they're meant to check the powers of each other. And Governor Little it's 30 days that he has in a state of emergency, and he can extend it 30 more days. And at that point, the legislative branch needs to step in, because the balance of power, you can't have all of it concentrated with one individual. But so I'd give it to Governor Little to make those decisions for the first 60 days. And then after that, we have to have the deliberative body of the legislature step in and take a look at things there. That's how the process is supposed to work, and it didn't work that way. And being in a state of emergency for 2 years, I mean, we have to be honest, it was primarily so that the state of Idaho could bring additional money in from the federal government. Right. And so it's important to have a talk about the issues and what's actually going on. But I believe the legislature needs to have be able to call itself back into session.
Okay, which it cannot do currently. It takes the governor to call them back into session once they've adjourned.
Yes, and that's a violation of the well, that's the way it is right now, but the that doesn't allow for a balance of power.
Okay. Under heading of more government, less government, I mean, if there is an upside to COVID, there are many people that would say it was because parents, you know, started really seriously across America, not just in Idaho. It's always been a homeschool state. And private schools and faith-based schools, you know, really are on the rise. There's been some adjustment now that schools are open again, but there is a sea change that has happened, I believe, in education in America. Do you agree? And so the issue is, if there is state money being spent on education, it just all goes to public education. And parents that want their kids in private schools or faith-based schools, or they want to homeschool, they don't have the money for it. So the push is for the money to follow the student. I know there are issues with that. Cynthia, I'll start with you. Do you agree or disagree that parents need to have educational vouchers?
Parents need to have over their children and everything that happens to them. Schools totally overstep those bounds, and the money that comes from we the people, the taxpayers, is going to organizations including not just the school districts, but teachers individually have been turned into baby Marxists. And I have a plan, because I worked with Russ Fulcher before, when he was running in 2017 for governor, and I lived down in Ada County at that time. And I can tell you that we now have the ability to actually have vouchers and school choice, and the 2020 Espinoza versus Montana at the Supreme Court gives us that missing piece to be able to have the money go through the child and not go directly to the public school system at all.
All right, Mark Sauter.
Sure. Actually, this year the legislature passed a $1,000 voucher for school kids that just went through. I'm not sure how many people have actually filed for that money yet, but it's up to $3,000 per family. I agree that parents should be the oversight for their child's education. But I also believe that parents need to be active in that. That means they meet with the teachers, the principals, the school districts, the superintendents. I've made it a practice to meet with our school administrations here in our district. I've asked how many people get involved, and sadly, there's not that many. So I'm a real advocate for that. The other part of this is it's in our state constitution that we have a sound public education system. Pulling money out of that, I noticed you nod your head. Pulling money, taking money away from that and getting into court battles, I question how smart that is. So I think we should help our parents out the best we can, and if it's a voucher system, so be it. But I don't believe that we should be taking money away from our school from our constitutional requirements, unless we want to do an amendment to the Constitution. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that, Travis Thompson. And then we have a rebuttal from Cynthia. What about vouchers for parents?
I support the vouchers. I think that the school system should be similar to the other markets that we engage in, where people can decide what they want based on their particular need. And then the school system can be tailored to fit that. There has to be, of course, limits to that system. And there's actually, you know, the homeschool groups don't necessarily like the idea of the states coming in to their education. So that part of that discussion has to be had. But being able to give the parents the choice. Two of my children went to charter school, and one of them went to the high school. Both of those situations fit very well. And I have volunteered with the school. I've given talks to the school. I understand the education system. I know that part of it. And there's some improvement to be there, but it needs to be more of a market-based thing the parents can be involved in.
All right. And quickly, Cynthia, rebuttal.
Okay, this is an area that I have expertise beyond either any of the candidates for this position. I do not think that we should get rid of public school education. I am a strong believer in public school education. However, it's been polluted and it's been destroyed by people who haven't been inside and they don't know what's really going on. I've been teaching as a substitute teacher. I've been to all the schools in Bonner County. And I can tell you that CRT is in there, Common Core is in there. The parents didn't really find out about what's going on in our classrooms until, as you said, during COVID, they had a chance to get involved. But parents are not wanted. They're not welcome. And I can tell you that there's all kinds of talk, but it's the actions which really count.
All right. Is there any other quick comment, Travis or Mark, that you want to make? Cynthia had an opportunity to rebut. You're good.
I, as far as parental choice goes, we have lots of school choices in our district, whether it's online or physical brick and mortar places. And I can feel for Cynthia's comment about parents and if they feel like they're not wanted to be involved. But leadership always is a demanding thing, and certainly parental oversight and parental involvement are necessary.
All right, that's it for this segment. We have a lot more to talk about and learn about these candidates, so you can make wise choices on May 17th. We'll be right back. And we have been talking with Travis Thompson, Mark Sauter, and Cynthia Weiss. They're running for state representative seat 1A. And you guys get to decide which one is going to go forward to the November ballot. And tomorrow, I want to give you a heads up that there are two other candidates that are also running for seat 1A, five in total. We'll be talking with those candidates tomorrow. They are Adam Rorick and Spencer Hutchins right here. So come on back tomorrow and be with us. So we are amazingly out of time. I'm going to ask our candidates to say goodbye to you and to close off the program with their closing out. Cynthia, I'm going to start with you.
Thank you, Barbara. I I appreciate this. I just want everyone to know that the only way you're going to know who I am is to go to my website, Cynthia4VoteForCynthia.us. And I just wanted to mention to everyone that we absolutely must have not a living constitution, but one that controls all of our destinies. And I ask you to please look at my information and you will understand why I am the person that you should vote for. I hope I will get your vote, but more than that, I will earn your respect. Thank you.
Real quick, top priority if elected. Top number one.
Number one is to fix our education system, which is completely not working.
All right. Thank you for that. That's Cynthia Weiss looking for your vote. Mark Sauter.
Hi. Thanks for having me today. I asked for your vote. I will represent you with my best effort. My number one concern would be to be a responsible representative. That means getting out in the district and representing everyone in the district and bringing things back to our district. My website is Mark Sauter for Idaho, and I encourage you to check it. Thank you. You can contact me at my website.
All right, and Travis Thompson.
All right, thank you, Barbara. So Travis Thompson, and I have been in the district. I know what it takes to properly represent the district, and I know the system of government we have. I've run legislation. I know how to pass legislation. And the top priorities I would have would be, one, restoring the balance of power. The process is far more important than single bills. And that helps ensure our form of government stays. I'd also like look into more this environmental social governance, and it's a rating system that's used by banks that's not financially tied. It has other factors, social factors over financial. So that's a big deal. And I'd want to also say that I am A-rated with the NRA. I'm a strong Second Amendment supporter, which is what I believe you need to have to be a strong conservative. I have a website, thompsonforidaho.us. I have 16 things that are listed that I've advocated for and continue to advocate for when I'm down at the state capitol. And it's our basic constitutional rights are listed there, and those are what I find to be important. And that's what I have been doing. This is a job interview, and I've been already doing the work.
All right, Travis Thompson, thank you. Mark, I'm going to give you an opportunity. The NRA was mentioned by Travis because you did not get a very high rating from the NRA questionnaire that they had. Can you explain that to the audience?
This is the first time I've heard of it. I haven't looked at. I didn't check on my report card.
Okay.
So I'm new to running in a race, and that's not something that I've checked on. So, and Travis just handed me what my rating was.
All right.
And I see other candidates have a question mark. So Travis mentioned in passing, right, maybe I checked the wrong box, but
okay. I appreciate that honesty, because I just wanted to give you an opportunity to express that. Cynthia, real quick.
I am also a very strong believer in the Second Amendment, but I'm a strong believer in all of our Bill of Rights in the Constitution. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to all of our candidates, Travis Thompson, Mark Sauter, Cynthia Weiss. I appreciate you guys being here. All the best to all of you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.